This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, the latest in the Pac-12 Mountain West lawsuit. We got stuff going on Tuesday morning again, but no conclusion. Magistrate Judge Susan Van Kulin declined to issue a ruling on the Mount West motion to dismiss the poaching penalty case following a hearing that lasted approximately 1 hour. She will render a decision in the coming days or weeks, according to the SeattleTimes.com. The Pac-12 issued the following statement. The Pac-12 Conference will continue to move forward with our legal action against the Mount West Conference. We appreciate the court's consideration of the issues at today's hearing, and we will await its decision. We remain confident in the strength of our position and remain focused on advancing the academic excellence, athletic achievement, and tradition that have defined the Pac-12 for more than a century. That's kind of what we thought was going to happen, that there would be a lack of decision on this one. But I don't know, man. I mean, it sounds like at some point it's probably going to be somewhat of a settlement, don't you think? Pac-12 and the Mount West are just going to have to agree to disagree and meet in the middle somewhere.
How much you want to bet they eventually combine?
No, I don't think so.
Eventually. It's not going to be within the next 10 years, but I just have this weird feeling that they're just going to, like, the next couple of leaders are going to say, you know what, screw it, let's just combine and make one mega conference like the Big Pack is.
Yeah, I mean, originally I thought that was what was going to happen. That it was going to be Oregon State, Washington State, and just the rest of the Mountain West. But Pac-12's going for, I guess, in their minds, quality over quantity. You know, and bringing it, well, I mean, the teams that they're bringing in are considered more of the class of the, like, I mean, Air Force is usually a better team than a lot of them, but is that great for the conference? Is that, I mean, I was honestly of the mindset, without getting into all the details of all this, that it would just make more sense for the Mountain West and the Pac-12 to just merge. And that's where I thought we were headed once they agreed to do their little scheduling thing last year.
They should have merged.
Probably.
I don't know. They should have merged and called it the Pac. And
the Pac Mountain.
Pac-12.
The Mountain Pac. The Mountain Pac. That would have been
cool.
Or the
Pac Mountain.
No, the Mountain Pac. Like the Rat Pack, but it's the
Mountain Pack. Or the 36 Pack. Yeah, just whatever has to do with beer. Whatever beer pun you want. All this realignment, I blame West Virginia.
I blame the fact that the NCAA doesn't have a real commissioner. They don't have a real leader. This whole thing is stupid to me.
Well, they're too busy complaining about, these students are getting money in an education.
I didn't catch most of that. Big Hub says Pack West. I mean, I was probably for that, but the fact that I've said this a million times, that these two conferences were able to go off on their own, create a scheduling deal without any oversight from overseeing from the NCAA, and then now they're fighting. It's like, that's what happens when conferences are just allowed to do whatever the hell they want, even though they're in the NCAA, under the NCAA umbrella. This is when you run into issues like this.
The only reason the NCAA exists is to be a thorn in everyone's side. That's, I just feel like they have a tournament and also to come up with arbitrary rules that ruin everything.
Yeah, maybe. Speaking of the NCAA, 13 players from six schools involved in gambling schemes. 13 men's college basketball players from six schools were involved, including point shaving and game manipulation. The NCAA announced this morning players formerly associated with Eastern Michigan, Temple, Arizona State, New Orleans, North Carolina A&T, and Mississippi Valley State are under investigation for gambling violations, according to the NCAA, which declined to name the athletes until the infractions process has concluded, which is a good idea. None of the players are currently enrolled at the schools where the infractions occurred, according to the NCAA. The violations include, according to ESPN, athletes betting on and against their own teams. Wow. Sharing information with third parties for purposes of betting, knowingly manipulating scores or game outcomes, and or refusing to participate in the enforcement of staff's investigation. Whew. Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, said, "The rise of sports betting is creating more opportunity for athletes across sports to engage in the unacceptable behavior. And while legalized sports betting is here to stay, regulators and gaming companies can do more to reduce these integrity risks by eliminating prop bets and giving sports leagues a seat at the table when setting policies." Don't let the NCAA sit at that table. I agree. I'm kind of wondering if at the pro level, especially in basketball, prop bets are like over-unders for points and stuff like that. Maybe unders are eliminated. I know Adam Silver had brought that up. I know that that has been a topic of discussion. I didn't know you could do prop bets like over and under for player points and stuff in college. Maybe different states. But 13 players right now, and they're still trying to sort that all out. This one also coming out from ESPN. It will be up to the NBA to prove wrongdoing during its investigation of potential salary cap circumvention by the Clippers. Owner Steve Ballmer and star Kawhi Leonard, in that situation, according to Adam Silver, said it will be up to the NBA. The burden is on the league if we're going to discipline a team, an owner, a player, or any constituent members of the league. Silver said during his annual news conference, quote, "I think as with any process that requires a fundamental sense of fairness, the burden should be on the party that is, in essence, bringing those charges." I think the NBA is probably, this is a pretty serious thing because you had Kawhi Leonard on the max contract, but I mean, he's already getting as much money as he possibly can, but to make sure he chose the Clippers, the thought is that he also said, yeah, throw in some endorsement stuff. Did he bring that to the table? Did Ballmer bring that to the table? This is weird because, remember, this whole thing started out with Donald Sterling and Adam Silver's first run at NBA commissioner. One of the big moves he made, which was the right move, was to remove Donald Sterling from his ownership of the Los Angeles Clippers, because in contracts that, in paperwork that you sign to be an owner, part of it is you can't do anything that's detrimental to the league. And when Donald Sterling's recordings got out of what he thought of players and maybe some of his racist comments came into play, it was threatening a potential boycott, a potential strike, and of players, fans, all of that. And that would obviously be detrimental to the league. So he came in guns a-blazing, Adam Silver did, and made that move. And I think most people applauded that move. If you heard the recordings, you don't want a guy like that running an NBA franchise. That kind of guy is detrimental to the league. Brady, you can't take away their ownership of stuff. Well, this is different, because when you buy a team, you sign off on certain things. And one of those things is if you have actions that are deemed detrimental to the league, you could be at risk of losing your team. So now, you know, Steve Ballmer bought the team, and it was all good, man. That stadium's amazing, or that arena's amazing. They're not, like, they're a playoff team, but they're not winning anything. And he is now involved in this situation with Kawhi Leonard, where they tried to circumvent the salary cap, so they essentially, which is stuff I wondered if I always wondered if this happened more often. Like, why wouldn't that happen? Because if you say you want to keep building on a team, especially with the aprons now, what's to stop you from just saying, hey, we'll make up for that? We can't pay you $38 million. We can pay you $30, but we'll hook you up with three of our endorsement people, and they'll talk to you, and they'll come up with that $8 million. But the way this one happened is it was like Steve Ballmer was directly involved with this tree company that worked with Kawhi Leonard, and that's where we started to get into the weeds with this story. NFL will not discipline Lamar Jackson for shoving the Bills fan. Good. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy wrote in a statement, "The matter has been addressed by the club, and there is no further action from the league." You all know that story by now. Sunday night, Jackson was celebrating with some teammates near the front row of Highmark Stadium after he threw a 29-yard touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins, which was a phenomenal grab. The fan wearing a red Bills jersey initially hit Hopkins on the helmet before doing the same to Jackson, who immediately delivered a two-handed push that sent the fan falling backward. The fan was ejected from the stadium Sunday night. The fan also has been banned indefinitely from Bills and NFL stadiums. Eric DaCosta, the Ravens general manager, said in a statement, "Our player safety is of the utmost importance. We have spoken to Lamar, who understands the impact of the situation about the incident. While we will keep internal matters private, we have implemented additional security protocols, both at home and on the road, to better protect our players and handle negative fan interactions moving forward." Fans, don't touch the players. You want to put your hand out for a high five? That's where it stops. That's it. That's the line.
It was a pretty big push. Like it wasn't like a light tap. It was,
yeah, but he hit him on the head.
Yeah, he hit him pretty hard.
And DeAndre Hopkins on the head.
I mean, I'd have pushed him back too.
Yeah, I 100% agree with this move. It's not just because I've got the Lamar Jackson sunglasses on. This is the right move. If a fan is doing anything other than putting his hand out for you to make the decision to slap hands, you do not touch them. You don't pull on them. You don't grab their jerseys. You don't hit them on the head. You don't touch them. In this day, especially ever, but in this day and age, you just cannot open that up.
Well, if they jump in the stands, you can pat them.
If a player's going to jump in the stands, then you're suddenly off the field of play, and you're in a difficult situation.
Yeah, and all you can do is pat them on the head and give them a hug or something like that. That's fair game and stuff. But you can't. I don't know. This guy, he went a little far, and I can understand them kicking him out, even if he was trying to be all like, "Hey, guy," like I totally understand security kicking him out. I totally understand Lamar pushing him. I have no problem with anything. I have no problem with the NFL saying it's fine.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Big hub on the Mountain West stuff, but they would have to buy out the Mountain West before combining. The lady doesn't seem like she wants to give up. Gloria Navarez, no. I don't see it happening now, Mike. I don't think they like each other. I don't see a peaceful resolution. And after all this damage, you know what? Let's bury the hatchet and let's just join conferences. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Maybe it was the right move, but I worry what it means to the Mountain West. Like, can the Mountain West survive this? I mean, the Pac-12 is barely going to survive this, Mike. The Mountain West most certainly is not going to survive this.
They're both doomed.
But when you say doomed, what does that mean? Does that mean that they'll still play? They'll still have football programs, but when we drift off into the CFP world, the second tier teams now just create their own thing, and they're like in between FBS and FCS. It's just another league by itself.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're doomed to wallow in mediocrity forever.
So we have essentially three at the D1 level. We would have three sections.
Yeah, pretty much.
College football playoffs. Maybe they keep the bowls and the NCAA stuff. I don't know. So you have FBS and then FCS. Yeah, that's kind of how I think it's going down. And that is why it is so important for Colorado State to win. If this is going to happen, 5-10 years, I don't know, but the writing is on the wall. We're about to see the playoff break off into something on its own, and I don't know how that's going to look. I don't even know if they'll be a part of the NCAA. They might just rent the facilities. They might. I don't know. They'll, because there'll always be a school. That's what it is. Like, you can't. You still be Alabama. You still be Ohio State. But they break away and they're just competing against, you know, whatever it is, 59 other teams, 60 total teams in this thing.
So Ohio State and Alabama in name only?
I don't think they're going to be student athletes.
Probably not.
I think they're going to be paid employees. And they'll be, what's your occupation at Ohio State? I'm a quarterback. I'm a running back. Some will make great money. There's going to be a salary cap. There's going to be different levels of, like, suddenly we're going to do what the NFL does, like the left tackle market, the running back market. It's all how it's going to go. And the ones that have the money, and the ones that have the money have what, Mike? The TV, the attention, the views, the eyeballs. And that is why when you're talking about John Weber over there at Colorado State trying to make big things happen and make the game day experience awesome and make sure they're winning football games, all that stuff, when you almost lose to UNC, that's a scary thing. And that's not a knock on UNC, but that's a scary thing. That's why Jay Norvell is, some Rams fans hate me saying it, but that's why he's 100% on a freaking hot seat right now. Because you are trying to establish yourself as being in that upper tier. Are you okay back there? You have coughed a lot. Is everything okay?
I don't know. I am coughing quite
a lot, man. It's like, I get you can't control it, but please, just try. Try not to cough.
I'll try not to cough into the microphone.
No, you do good at that. I'm just looking back there. I feel bad for you. It looks like you're going to die back there, man.
I feel like I'm going to die.
There's a lot of coughing. You got over the sickness last week. I thought you were good.
I think it might be coming back.
Really?
No.
The secondary infection?
I think I just have some residual sickness.
Okay,
it's like,
man.
It's like still in there because, yeah, like, I'm so horribly unhealthy.
Yeah.
My body, my immune system is just cowardly. I have immune system.
Need some
it
water?
Just surrenders all the time.
You need some water or something? You got water back there?
I have Mountain Dew.
Well, drink some water.
Mountain Dew is good for you.
Mysterio texting in, touching players has the same rules as the den. No touchy-touchy. We haven't had a den reference in a while. Susan Sherrill can appreciate that. We all know their background. That used to be a theme there. Mysterio's trying to bring back an old whole show thing, and I appreciate that. Well done, my friend. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we got buy or sell. We got Thursday night special, Mike. So I hear Brian cut something new. We got a new intro song for this. So last week was fire. Straight up fire. I was inspired by it. I was like, it was amazing.
You were so inspired that an NFL player got kicked out just so you could win. That's how inspiring it was.
Well, the Thursday night, dude, anything can happen on Thursday night.
I know, but like, they weren't going to allow you to win. But Brian's little production was so high quality,
very
so
good.
Well written and done,
yes,
that he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spit. I'm just going to spit on someone and get kicked
because
out of the game.
The power of Mr. Thursday Night just, it creates chaos inside those games. Last year was a negative chaos. This year, it's been a positive chaos. So
far, it's Brian.
We're going to go 2-0. Well, I'll take all the credit, obviously.
I'm going to give it to Brian.
No.
I got to keep you humble.
You do not give credit to anyone other than Mr. Thursday Night. That is, you can be a part of it. You're a part of it. Great. You're part of the team. But Mr. Thursday Night is when it all goes down. Like, that's the fame and the fortune, all that. You guys can be my entourage. You can come along for the ride, but I'm driving.
So you're Mr. Thursday Night, and he's Captain Thursday Night.
No, I'm Captain, Mr., you know, all that stuff, Doctor, you name it. And Brian is along,
Professor.
Along for the ride. Sure. Then I'm the president of the institution.
And he's Emperor.
No, I'm the whatever's the top. Give me the top, and that is what I am.
Okay.
That's Mr. Thursday Night. 24 minutes after the hour. I want to shout out to you guys heard Diamond Valley Collectibles. Oh, do you want to do this now, Mike? Do you want to do our...
Yes.
Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question. I've been sticking with a Broncos theme this week, except for yesterday. We did a Kyle Bell. Little Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia for you today. 970-353-1310 is the number. have that ready. Micah's dying again. $20 gift certificate is on the line. And we will announce that winner tomorrow. That winner will be thrown into the major pot to win a $100 gift certificate and a signed jersey. Here's one. You'll know this, Mike. If you don't know this, I'm going to question your fandom. Name the first Denver Bronco pass rusher to sack the opposition's quarterback over 90 times. Do you know the answer to that, Mike? Do I have to text you?
I probably...
Oh, wow. You are... Dude, I'm worried. I'm texting it to you, so you have it. Third caller to get that right. 970-353-1310. And please, do me a favor. Tell Mike he's going to be okay. Ask how he's doing. Oh, wow. 970-353-1310. Name the first Denver Bronco pass rusher to sack the opposition's quarterback over 90 times. He's a beloved Bronco. Over 90 times. Just a quarterback. Opponent's opposition quarterback. 970-353-1310. The first Denver Bronco pass rusher to sack an opposition's quarterback over 90 times. I'm testing Broncos knowledge here to see if you can get it right. So be the third caller to call in, get that right. 970-353-1310. 26 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Brian Gary, Tanner Schwintz. Good Morning NOCO is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Renaissance Insurance Group. These guys formed this insurance company over 20 years ago. Two UNC Bears alumni. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld County, and are the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825, or visit them online at team-rig.com. Did we get the answer yet? Tons of wrong answers. I'm surprised. I'm a little disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
Well, fun fact, we did get the right answer, and the person who called me about five times did get the right answer. But I told him no, and then I realized, oh, crap, he did say the right answer. So the guy who called me back called me like five times. Please call me back so I can enter you in the drawing.
He said Simon Fletcher, and you said no?
He did, and I'm like, no, that's not it, before him. And then I'm like, why? As soon as I hung up, I'm like, oh, no,
I texted you. I texted you the answer.
You did, and I just feel dumb.
You are not to be trusted. During the Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question, call back. Yeah, I gave away the answer now. I thought we had it, and then Mike has to tell that story. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. It's going to be an interesting weekend in the sports world. I mean, for the Broncos and the Indianapolis Colts, now I think, you know, we looked at that game earlier in the season and we're like, okay, that's going to be, you got to start 2-0. You got Tennessee and Indianapolis. People forget that the Colts were an 8-win team last year. I mean, they weren't awful. They weren't like bottom of the barrel. They have quarterback issues, or they had quarterback issues with Anthony Richardson. He was supposed to be the guy that bring Daniel Jones in, and Daniel Jones beats him out in training camp to earn that starting job. And so far for Daniel Jones, he looked really good against what I believe might be a really bad Miami Dolphins team. Jones was 22 of 29 last week. 272 yards. He had a touchdown. Also ran for 26 yards and two touchdowns. It was the Daniel Jones show. This is what we thought he might be when he was with the Giants. His first year was interesting, second year was better, third year was awful, and then we all kind of know how bad things got for him from that point. But, you know, I had somebody talking about this to me the other day. It's like, maybe this is a Baker Mayfield situation for Daniel Jones. Maybe. Let's just hope it doesn't take off this week against the Broncos, because I really think it's important to start 2-0, because that schedule just gets harder and harder. The Colts are a team to watch out for. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's a stud, 71 yards for him last week. But Michael Pittman Jr., 6 receptions, 80 yards, and a touchdown. And how about their rookie tight end, Tyler Warren? First game for him. Dude, tight ends, just these days, these like stud tight ends that were studs in college, it doesn't take them much time. He had 7 receptions and 76 yards last week in his rookie debut as a starting tight end for the Indianapolis Colts. This guy is a monster. He was taken with the 14th pick overall. He was a guy I really wanted for the Broncos, and hopefully Jade Barron works out. But the Broncos couldn't have got it. I mean, he was at 14. So there's definitely reasons to be a bit concerned about this matchup. I believe the spread is pretty tight right now. Is it a pick 'em? It's Broncos are, according to ESPN, a 1.5-point favorite in this game. So, it's kind of close to it. On the road in Indy, coming up on Sunday. 36 minutes left. 36 minutes at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break here. Let's check on the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We'll have Kevin Lytle in studio here in about an hour to talk to us more about the, I don't know, do we have a quarterback competition going on in Colorado State? You know, you beat UNC 21-17, very controversial finish. Braden Fowler Nicolosi, that was the worst game I've ever seen him play. And I think a lot of times with him, it's you take the good with the bad. There's going to be some really good plays, some really exciting plays, and then you're going to have overthrows, underthrows, bad interceptions. Just, he had a fumble in that game. He had 2 picks. It was awful for him. And so I really do appreciate Jay Norvell, because I wondered if this was going to happen. When Jay stood up in front of and talked to Kevin first, and then later on doubled down, talked about K-State and the $600,000, all that stuff. I wondered, is there any going back from that? If BFN struggles and you get to a point where maybe you do have to put him on the bench, and demote him from his starting quarterback role, would Jay Norvell be able to do that? Because he talked about why he stayed and, you know, loyalty, and he believes in what we're doing here at the program. Well, that's going to make it really difficult to make that decision to kind of move on from him, at least for a game or two, to see how it goes. But they've got the bye week, so now's the time. If you are going to make that decision, go for it. But according to Kevin in the Coloradoan, Coach Jay Norvell has opened the door to competition with backup Jackson Brousseau getting some time with the top offense. Jay told Kevin, quote, "We're looking at every option right now in practice. We're giving JB some reps with the number ones. Braden's getting some reps as well. Everybody's got to continue to improve." Kevin notes here, "It wasn't so far as committing to a change at quarterback come September 20th, but it's the first real sign of Fowler Nicolosi's position being under threat. Think about when he started for Colorado State. They were going up. Clay Millen had his freshman year. It was rough in Jay Norvell's first year. He was supposed to be like this big-time recruit, big-time get that was going to go to Nevada and then chose to follow Jay Norvell to CSU. I think he broke the record for completion percentage, but it was a lot of short passes and things like that. Then after the first full year, he gets one half of football. So you go in, and that's why I thought that was a weird move too, because we weren't talking at all. Like, this is I'm comparing it to like the Boulder situation. What's going on at CU? We weren't talking at all about Braden Fowler Nicolosi. His name was not coming up much. It was just, can Clay Millen take that next jump in his second season? First half against Washington State, bad. He comes out second half, still bad. That was it. At that time, Braden Fowler took over, and then the announcement was made during a bye week that Clay was no longer going to be the starter. It was going to be BFN to go up against the Buffs in the Rocky Mountain Showdown. And we all remember that game. It was awesome. And BFN was outstanding. So any doubts that Jay made the right move went away after that game. Now, fast forward, last year, they win 8 games. BFN was all right. I think it's fair to say just all right. The run game, I thought, really carried this team. Obviously, carried this team. I thought their defense wasn't as bad as a lot of people have made it out to be. And you found a way to win 8 games. And then this year, he looked all right against Washington, and then he looked pretty bad against Northern Colorado. Those kind of games, win or lose, which they won, do ultimately beg for some kind of change. And we all know that Jay Norvell's still there. There was no change at the top. How confident are you, though? Like, I keep hearing that, oh, it's back foot Nicolosi, and oh, he should be benched, and I've seen enough of him. Well, there's a reason this coaching staff is saying it was BFN from the start to finish, but then again, I go back to last 2 years ago with Clay Mellon. It was, or I guess that was, yeah, that was 2 years. Was that 2 seasons ago already? And clearly you thought it was Clay, and then suddenly it was Braden Fowler Nicolosi. So you do wonder about the quarterback evaluation process of all this. Same thing going on down in Boulder. What weren't you seeing? You know, I get it. In practice and training camp, you got your designated starting quarterback, and then that starting quarterback is going to get the majority of the time with the one, so you don't get to see what the second quarterback or the third string quarterback is really all about. So you kind of just go with that guy until he really proves otherwise. But this is also not a good situation for Colorado State. In what I have said, and some people scoff at this, but I believe it's the most important season in Colorado State Rams history, like leading up to it. Not saying it's whatever they end up doing. I'm not saying it's going to be, oh, this was the best season in Colorado State history, because Sonny Lubick would have a thing or two to say about that, maybe even Jim McElwain for a year. But as far as what this season means and putting your best foot forward when you break into the Pac-12 next year, and every single one of those teams in the Pac-12 would like to have positive years and reasons to believe that we are going to have a conference that's just lights out, you don't want to struggle against the University of Northern Colorado and then turn around the next week and lose to UTSA. Like, it just can't happen. So am I pretty, I almost would feel better if I'm saying it right now. I don't think BFN should be benched. I think you're better off staying with him, staying the course. Similar feelings in Boulder. I'm shocked. I saw what Staub did, but it also just makes me think, man, okay, how bad was option number 1 and 2 then? That you're now down to option 3. And what does that spell for the rest of the season? So I don't have like the warm and fuzzy feeling of, oh yeah, they're benching BFN. Is Jackson Brissot the guy? Maybe. I don't know enough about him. Kevin will help educate us a bit coming up. We've seen him off and on. He's been there for a while. But it's not one of those things that when you make a quarterback change, sometimes you can see it and it's like, oh, this just made the team much better. I don't know. I wondered if BFN was going to come in or get benched at some point in that game. It was so bad. So this is an odd look. And I had a feeling if this went south, this would be a very big story because of all the stuff that we heard last offseason about Braden Fowler Nicolosi and his popularity level and the fact that teams were reaching out to try to get him over to their football program. And that right now, I'm not saying I don't believe anybody made that up, because BFN had a good first year. But all of that kind of looks a little awkward at this stage. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. 1248 the time, Michael. We'll take a short break here. We'll wrap up hour number 2. We got buy or sell coming up in the final hour of the show. The Thursday night special is almost here. We got Kevin Lytle joining us. And then I'm sticking with you guys at 2 o'clock. Rams Weekly with yours truly and the Kevin Lytle will go on into all things Colorado State. That will be a fun show because we'll talk a little bit about what happened Saturday. All that and more coming up next.
Fall is nearly here, and that means football is on KFKA. Preps, college, pros, and the Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Earned number one Mosquito Joe franchise this year. That is NoCo Mosquito Joe. They're offering rodenticide-free rodent services so you don't have to stress about what your kid or dogs are getting into and still keep the rodents away. Go to noco.mosquitojoe.com for more information there. Buy or sell coming up. Man, it's just week three in college football already? That's crazy how fast it goes, Mike. But we're already on to week three, and we've already got a lot of quarterback stuff to talk about. That is not typically a good thing. And you got backup quarterback and Eric Gibson Jr. for the UNC Bears. They're getting ready to go to South Dakota. South Dakota, listen, the Bears could lose that game, and it still wouldn't make me feel like this is going to be a bad season for the Bears. I believe South Dakota is ranked like 18th at the FCS level, even though they're 0-2. It just goes to show you the respect that that team is being given. Well before the season started. So we'll start breaking into that on a Football Friday presented by the one and only Big City Roadhouse. There's big games, man. What it means. I mean, you need the Broncos to figure it out. Bo Nix has got to get it right. You need to beat the Colts. It's big to start off that way. Start off 2-0. The Rams are off this weekend, but they need to keep evaluating because they have a very big decision coming up on the quarterback side of things. So it's all about the quarterback this week. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Buy or sell coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.